Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Happy Thursday, Right Here in Mass listeners. Joining us today is Liz August, the founder of Simplify Simplify. As a business and tech strategist, Liz helps her clients stay in their zone of genius with her one-stop shop for their tech and admin needs. Liz, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy 2024.
Yes, it's my pleasure. And I'm excited to have you back because for our listeners, Liz was a part of our very first Lunch and Learn here at Massachusetts Business Network about operations. She shared so many good things. So I was like, we got to have her back here. And now she's on the show. So this is going to be a great combo.
Amazing.
I'd love if you could start off by sharing with our listeners who may not have tuned into that webinar yet to share more about you and what you do at Simplify Simplify.
Absolutely. So I started as a virtual assistant and the business exploded in a really great way. And so I ended up becoming an agency and we help service providers stay in their zone of genius. And by that, I mean, you know, if you are a life coach, you probably don't want to be building your website or dealing with your invoicing or your social media or your email marketing or your CRM or any of those things. And so we completely take over. And then that just frees you up to actually do the thing that you opened the business to do. And it looks different for a lot of different people. We start with strategy because we find that most virtual assistants just kind of jump in and start slaying tasks. And that's amazing. But it has to come from strategy because otherwise they're just taking things off your to-do list and you're kind of just putting it out fires all day, you're not really making any progress. So we do a strategy session and then we decide, do you need general admin virtual assistant who's going to do those tasks all day? Or do you need a premium service? And that's where we get our website design, our social media scheduling, really hooking you up with a CRM, a client relationship management system, and making sure your invoicing is streamlined. So we do a lot of different things for service providers that have online businesses. And at the bottom line, we just try to simplify your life a little bit.
I love that. And I also love that you start with the strategy because I'm just like you. I love a good strategy and really having that great course of action to follow. But I imagine that with most, if not all of your clients, you'll likely be going through the strategy session with them, but you'll have to think about like, okay, you're having this problem, but what's the root cause of this problem? And might realize that it's actually so many other contributing factors besides just this one thing that they think they need support with. And really getting to the bottom of that and being able to guide them throughout that process and take it off their plates.
That's exactly it. I kind of see myself first as a diagnostician and I'm just like, okay, you think you need a website? What's really going on? You know, what are the bigger problems in the business?
Exactly. And especially too, with something big like a website, you're like, wait a second, you need some of those foundational stuff figured out first before we do something grandiose like that.
Exactly. And I try to do the best for the client because I'm not here to just be like, well, you need a website, you need a CRM, you need social media, and that'll be $10,000. And it's like, no, like, I really don't want you to just throw money at a problem. I really just want to figure out what the problem is first, and then we'll do the best next step for you.
Exactly. And so to back things up, you mentioned that you had started as a virtual assistant before you ended up building out the agency. But even prior to that, what inspired you to even become a virtual assistant in the first place?
Oh my goodness. So I was a teacher in Framingham. I taught at Cameron Middle School. Before that, I was at Krista McAuliffe and I was a Spanish teacher for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. I did that for 10 years. And I loved it. It's actually what I thought my whole life was going to be. From the 4th grade, I said, I'm going to be a Spanish teacher. And I did it. And I had a really great decade-long career. And then somewhere around like year 5, year 6, I was just like, I am not happy. And there is more. And I don't know what it is, but there's more. And I thought, because I had been seeing a life coach at the time, and I really enjoyed the work that was fulfilling me, I was like, God, you know, I feel like maybe I want to be a life coach. So I went to training with Coactive Training Institute, and I went through their entire 5-course program. And at the end of it, I was like, God, this was incredible and it was mind-altering and it was life-changing and I'm going to quit teaching. And I was like, but I don't want to be a life coach. What I found out is I'm a fixer. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's bad if you're trying to fix some people. I definitely don't recommend fixing people. And that's how I knew I couldn't be a life coach, because life coaching is not about fixing. You're not broken. You're completely whole and fantastic as you are. Life coaching is not about that, but I met a ton of life coaches in this program. And one of them called me up and was like, I am going to throw my computer out the window because I just can't. I just need a spreadsheet of all the women that came to my retreat, and I need their email addresses, and I just need it put together. And could you please do, I'll give you like $20. Like, could you just do this? 'Cause I know you're good at technology. And I was like, yeah. And I got it done in 15 minutes. She's like, you could have taken 2 weeks. Like, it wasn't something I needed. I was like, it's a spreadsheet. It's fine. And so I think she really recognized the potential here. And we got together and I completely streamlined her business. And now she has one of the top, I think like 0.2% podcasts globally. Yeah, it's incredible. She's done amazing. And she knows so many different life coaches. And so she kind of was like, do you know Liz? Do you know Liz? Do you know Liz? And we really just built an entire business off referrals. So it's just been amazing. Yeah, snowball effect.
And I can imagine that going through the training and certification to become a life coach has absolutely differentiated you against other agencies or other, at that time, virtual assistants, because the coaches knew that you understood it and you got it.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And so now, do you still primarily support life coaches? Have you expanded beyond that? I'd love to hear really the core of the people that you support the most.
It's such a fun list. It's such a fun list. So primarily life coaches, a lot of women empowerment coaches. And I would say that's probably like 90% of our clientele. From that, we have a ton of authors. I would say like that's the next biggest bucket.
That's
We also have,
interesting.
it's really interesting. A lot of life coaches is a lot of life coaches are publishing. And so I think that's kind of like a natural progression. Podcasters, there is so many little teeny tiny details with podcasting, as you probably know, as we're doing a podcast right now. Then we have some outliers, which are super fun. We have a physical therapist in Colorado, and we had a one of the original organizers of the Women's March
Oh my
with the
gosh.
pussy hats, the pussycat hats. She was one of the five original organizers, and she was a longtime client as well. So we have activists, authors, podcasters, a lot of coaches, and I think that's mostly it. I think they'd fall in one of those buckets.
So it sounds like at the core of the types of people that you support, it's people who are making an impact. That's kind of what I'm gathering.
Absolutely. And it's interesting. I've really been getting into like personality quizzes and human design and all these different ways to kind of best understand yourself. And when I think about each of my clients, they tend to be in the same sort of just sphere. Like they are creatives, they're very passionate. And that the bottom line, they just want to help their clients and they need to be held and supported while they do that.
And I think that's a really great way to phrase that as well. And so when you started off as a virtual assistant and then you got to the point you're like, I cannot do this by myself anymore. What was that process like of
So
just kind of
hard.
having that aha moment and almost like a come to Jesus moment where you're like, I
Oh, it
waved the white
was.
flag. What was that like? And then what were the steps that you took to then actually build out a team that you could trust and that you trusted would follow through for your clients that you yourself had dedicated so much time to?
I had to climb off my soapbox. It was a long journey down that soapbox. And then I had to practice what I preach, which is terrible because I sound so smart. And then I'm like, okay, do that for yourself and your business. And I'm like, dang it. That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what
It's
happened, because I sit on Zoom calls every single day with women entrepreneurs who are service providers. I am a woman, I am an entrepreneur, I am a service provider. And I'm like, well, you have to strategize. Like, what are your goals? And then we work backwards. And then what is your biggest headache? kid, what do we need to be doing? And I'm like, if you just said that to yourself in the mirror, you would figure everything out. It's a very cobbler's son has no shoes situation.
Yes.
Yeah, and I just had to admit, I'm like, girl, you're working 14, 16-hour days. And if you really wanted that kind of abuse, you would just stay teaching with a really comfortable salary. So it was a come to Jesus. It was like, this was not the goal. The goal was to actually be present in your life. And, I loved teaching and I love teachers, but we're martyrs. We give, we give, we give, we give. And at some point, you just have to realize, like, I need balance and I need to have a life too. And that was the point of opening this business. So, yeah, so I had to finally admit it all to myself. And there was a quick pit stop between being a teacher and being a virtual assistant, a foray into entrepreneurship. I was a professional organizer of homes.
Oh, fun.
Right. And it was so fun because A, I'm a fixer. So if I'm going to walk into your messy home, I really need to fix it. My friends love me. B, it actually really fits with virtual assistants. I just made things virtual. I'm still organizing and fixing and streamlining, but I just kind of went from houses to businesses. While I was a professional organizer, I met a fellow professional organizer, and she and I became friends, and we knew that we were very similar because of this like orderliness, organizing factor about us. And I learned that she had actually stopped working her business and that she was home with some health issues as well as raising two gorgeous girls. And I was like, hey, Kristen, you're the most organized person I know. And you know what it's like to own a business. And so do you think you would want to be a virtual assistant with me? And she was like, yes, never leave my house and work from home. Absolutely. And she really was the turning point. I got way many more hours in my life to take on more clients, but also be a mom to a now 6-year-old. I like don't work weekends anymore. It's really fantastic. And from her, I mean, we just kept getting more clients and we were like, oh my God, we got to grow this team. So now we have several gals on the team and it's just keeps growing. And it's really just been a really fun and beautiful process.
I love that. And so with the team members that you've since added on after Kristen, do you add people who like specialize in a certain like task, I guess is the best way to put it. Like, make sure that they have specialties to contribute.
Absolutely. So we have a general admin team. Kristen's kind of the leader of that. And then we have some girls, Tekoa, Sarah, and Breen. They're all on that side. They're the ones that are not like full-time employees, but they're just always available and they're doing the tiny tasks that really pile up. And then we have specialists, tech specialists, and those gals are all over the world. And they're kind of just like a Rolodex. Like I'm like, all right, which one of you does Squarespace? And we have a Squarespace client. And I'll like email three of them and be like, who's available? And the first one that responds gets the job. Or I'll just know a design style and I'll know from prior work and I'll be like, oh, that'd be a really good fit here. And then I'll go and I'll call up Lydia and be like, hey, I really think you should do this site. And if she's available, great. So it's a fun mix because I have a core team that's always there and we're always chatting. And then I have people all over the world that I just kind of call on when needed. And it's fun to catch up with them too.
So with that, now that you have a team, like, are you still, I guess, in the day-to-day stuff, or have you really kind of focused on taking that step back and more so managing, maybe even a mix of both, honestly?
I would love to lie to you and just be like, yeah, step back. Go on
I
so
can
many
relate.
vacations. I will say that in 2023, I traveled more than I think I have since my kiddo was born. So, in like six
Oh, I love
years,
that.
yeah, I was everywhere in 2023, which is like the proof that if you delegate, you can actually leave the desk. You're not chained to it. It's an amazing concept. so, yeah, I would say it's a really healthy mix. I'm not working 14, 16-hour days anymore. I don't touch my laptop on weekends unless I really want to. There's a lot more work-life balance, still a work in progress, and yeah, so like comfortably in the middle, I think.
Yeah, that's how I feel too, because for me, I feel like we're a lot alike where we're very type A. And so
No.
being able to step back and be like, this is the reason why I hired these people because I trust them and I know that they have all the expertise in the world to handle this, but it's just so hard to let go. I think that's the hardest
Yes.
part, is not Hiring, but letting go.
Were we separated at birth?
Yeah.
Maybe. It's possible. Yes, 100%. And it really is that trust. And, we've all done it. Like, you can hop on Upwork or Fiverr, and these platforms are awesome, and you can find some really good talent out there. But do you really know what you're hiring? Because you might, again, think that a website will solve all of your problems, but if you didn't strategize to write that copy and design it just so, with a really central call to action that's throughout the entire site and leading them exactly where you want them to, it'll look great. I'm not sure it's going to be 100% functional and strategic. So, it's really that idea of get to know the person. And we try so hard to be a part of your team instead of just like this outside entity that's kind of taking care of some things for you.
Yes, and I think that like integration is huge because when you get to know your clients on that really close level, then you end up
Yes.
identifying things that they might not even know they need support with, and you're like, I think we need to focus on A, B, and C, just being a part of this.
Yes.
And I noticed that that integration too is what leads to those long-term clients. So you'd mentioned you had several clients that have been with you from the beginning, and when your clients feel like they can trust you so close and you have that really great relationship, that what makes them want to work with you forever. And that's a really great customer service value add that you have.
100%. We have a lot of those clients that they've just been with us since 2019, 2020, and they're still going strong. We also have a lot of people that just keep coming back.
Yeah.
So they might have fixed their website and it looks great and it's working really well. And now they're like, email marketing, cool. And they'll be like, help. And I'll be like, yeah, I knew you were coming. It's okay. You got here. So yeah, it's fun. I love, all my clients become my friends and we stay in touch. And it's so much of a nicer relationship when you can really say, like, I care about your business and your success is my success.
Yes, I love that too. And then it's so gratifying too that when like you see your clients go through
So
a successful
gratifying.
launch or like they have some great win and you just know that you played a role in that. I think that's what really helps to make the difficult days better when it's like moments like that where you're like,
Yes.
I helped do this. And it's just so gratifying to have.
Yeah, I've actually started a campaign. I've been reaching out to some clients and I was like, can you send me a photo of you doing something that you love to do that I gave you the time to do? And I just think it would
Oh,
be a
that's
really
fun.
fun, like, collage or like a reel on Instagram, but just be like, look at, like, they're doing this stuff they want to do. So yeah, that's the moments that you care about.
Absolutely. And so, for people who are listening to this episode who have a business and they might be saying to themselves, you know what? I think I might need help operationally or with tech, but they're not quite sure if they're ready yet. Like, what are some signs that they should be looking out for to know if it's really time to bring in an expert like yourself and your team to support them?
Absolutely. Don't think about it like a long to-do list. If you're like, you don't have to have a list of 20 things that you're going to pass off to us. That's really not the point. When you wake up in the morning, are you dreading that business that you opened because you didn't like what you were doing before? Because the whole point of doing this now was to craft the life that you want, right? And like curate the days that you wanted. And so if it's bringing you stress, it doesn't have to be that way. And I know there's something, it could be a quick fix, it could be a long-term fix, it could be small, it could be, done in 20 minutes, it could be take 3 months, but there's something that we can do. And you can kind of get that spark back that you started off with as an entrepreneur, because we all have it. But it can fade and it can, waxes and wanes a lot. But try to find that and give me a call and we'll get you back towards it.
Yeah, and that is such a great point that you bring up because I honestly, like literally this morning, just wrote that in my journal myself is that I feel like
Yeah.
I'm starting to love my business again because I'm
Yay.
letting go of the things that aren't things that I enjoy or things that aren't serving me so that I can focus on the things that I really love to do. And so when you're able to help your clients achieve that same result, then it's such a great feeling for them because as you mentioned early on in this recording, like we start businesses because we want to live a life that we love. And so being able to give them that opportunity is everything, really.
Exactly right. And it's progress over perfection. I have a little 6-year-old perfectionist who's so hard on herself sometimes. And we actually outlawed the word perfect in the house. And
Oh,
anytime
I
someone's
love
like,
that.
Because we say it all the time, you don't realize how often you say it. It's almost like a good job. So when you have a kid, you're like, oh, that looks perfect. That drawing is perfect. And so you really have to change your vocabulary. And so we outlawed the word perfect for a really long time. And she became the perfect police. So it kind of went the opposite, where like a teacher would be like, perfect job, Blake. And she'd be like, my mommy and daddy says that there's no such thing as perfect. And I'm like, okay, we got to backpedal here a little bit. But there really, I mean, like, there isn't, and any progress is great progress. So celebrate that.
Yes, that's a good point too. And one thing that I learned, because we recently hosted like a goal setting webinar here at MBN, is that even failure is progress. I mean,
Yes.
you're learning what might not be working, and you're using that information to take the next step and try something that might work. And so just reframing that mindset is really what it's all about.
Absolutely. When I taught in Framingham, I was at Chris McAuliffe Charter School, and they had one of their core values was success and failure. And they would actually have students write, like, what's a success you had and what's a failure you had? And I was like, this is such a great assignment because I don't think about my failures unless they're haunting me at 2 a.m. But like, I'm not going to sit here and like journal on them and really think them through. And it's important because they teach you so much. So yeah, celebrate the failure, celebrate it all.
Yes, celebrate everything. That's a great mantra
Yeah.
to have. And so, when business owners come to you, one of the things that I know we talked about this during our webinar that we did together, but one of the things that they struggle with is the tools or the systems that they set up. I mean, I see
Yes.
this in my marketing agency. It's like analysis paralysis because there's so
Ugh.
many tools and so many systems, and what one should I go with? And am I choosing the right one? I mean, that can sincerely weigh people down. And so, what advice would you give to business owners when they're kind of trying to figure out like what they should use, if it actually fits their needs and gets them closer to reaching their goals?
Oh God, it's always just so hard to answer this question because I, not with technology, but similarly, I'm an addict for professional development. I love me a free download or a $7 download or a $17 download, and those just pile up in my Google Drive. And I'm like, when am I going to get the time to go through all of this? And so my resolution for the business, I don't set personal resolutions, but my business resolution was for 2024, you may not, Liz August, purchase another professional development course or PDF or webinar. You cannot buy any more until you go through all of them. And I had my assistant put them in one spot so that they haunt me every
It's
day.
probably like a massive file.
Oh my God, there's so many. And my assistant was like, are you out of your mind? I'm like, yeah. And so so I think my word here is commitment, you know,
Oh,
and just like stick with it. Just
yeah.
stick with it. Because again, a platform's not going to solve your problems for you. I've tried so many because I want to best recommend the platform for each client. Like, I want to know my clients so well that I can be like, you need Trello and you need ClickUp and you need Asana. And so I try them all out. But for myself, you won't find me trying each one. I just commit to one platform and I ride it out. If it's absolutely not working, we'll figure it out. But because all of this is driven by strategy, you really have to point the finger on yourself. And realize like a piece of tech is not going to solve your problems. It's how you're using it and the strategy around it. So if you're sitting there like, I invested in ClickUp and I pay this bill every month or year and I don't use it and I'm wasting money and I'm so pissed because I'm disorganized, it's like, okay, so let's strategize the disorganization and maybe like not blame ClickUp. So yeah, it's really a matter of like pick one. And get your strategy in order before you dump your whole life in there. And then it'll sort itself out is really when you have that strategy outlook.
That's great advice. And you had kind of alluded to this, but it's really the idea of like, don't reinvent the wheel. So if
Oh my
something
God.
is working for you, like, don't just drop it just because you see this new shiny object and think it might work
Shiny object
better.
syndrome. Yeah. Like every Instagram ad that's like, oh, you said you weren't going to buy anything in 2024 that's business related. You good luck, lady. Yeah. Those Instagram ads, they come for me every day. Every day. And there's some great creators out there. And I know that their PDFs and their webinars and their classes, like all of that's going to be very helpful for me. But I'm like, no, like I have to commit to what I have already. And then, you know, how kind of have like a wish list for later. It's kind of
Yeah.
like the Amazon cart, you know, just throw everything
Just
in
keeps
there.
growing.
Yeah. And then maybe one day pick out two things, you know?
Exactly. But yeah, and I mean, I especially feel like that this is probably prominent for you with like a new year when people are like, let me just revamp all my systems, even though I might not
Yes.
need to. And I found myself
Absolutely.
guilty of that. Like 2 weeks ago-ish, when I was on my holiday break, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get a calendar to use. I need a planner. And then I was like, when have I ever used a
When
paper
have I
planner?
ever used a paper planner?
Every time I buy one, it gets unran in. So I
Correct.
love my just plain notebook and my Asana. So why am I going to buy a paper planner? And then I had to stop myself and I was like, you're just getting caught up in what you're seeing
Yes.
online of everyone else using their planners and you don't need one. And I was proud of myself for
Absolutely.
walking away,
I'm
but
proud of
that's
you too. For me,
it's
it was
hard.
TikTok is pushing those giant calendars. Have you seen these?
No, I have not.
So the calendar is like as big as your wall, and
Oh my gosh.
instead of each page is a month, it's the whole year. So there's 365 boxes, but the month is one big long line across your whole wall.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, whoa, that would be so cool. And then I'm like, you fool, look at your office. We do not have a
Even know if you
single
have wall
wall.
space.
I have zero, not a single wall in this office could fit that calendar. I'm like, you're such a fool. Also, your biggest pet peeve is when you go to the grocery store and you left your grocery list on the counter because you didn't put it in your phone where it belongs because your phone is always with you. So, what do you think this giant calendar that's on paper is going to do for you?
Oh
What's
my
it going to do
gosh.
for you? So, yeah,
Exactly.
it's just the same concept. It's like, oh my God, just because it looks amazing, it really did. Like this calendar was really cool. I'm like, it just because it looks cool, it doesn't mean it's going to work for you. So,
Yeah.
and it goes back to like my teaching when I was teaching Spanish to kids in Framingham, I was like, oh my God, like some of these kids are Brazilian. So they're not just balancing a new language of Spanish. They're also have English. They're trilingual now. So, you know, it was really just establishing everybody's learning type and everybody's, you know, processing skills and finding the best fit for that person. And it's not going to be a wall calendar for everybody. I'm sorry.
You nailed it. And I can imagine that the work that you had done with your students of understanding their learning has probably really closely translated over into your business and understanding how your clients learn things and how they retain information, which is huge.
Absolutely. Especially because I think the majority of my clients are creatives and I'm very not. I'm a logistical person. It's so fun to see the differences. And I always equate it to like, they're my beautiful bouquet of balloons and I kind of have to pull them down to earth a little bit. But everybody needs that. Like you have to have that creative energy and you also sometimes just have to come down to earth and really think it out. So it's finding that balance.
Absolutely. And so when business owners are ready to get started with working with someone like yourself to support them, is there anything you think they should do beforehand, before they get ready to just hand off that to-do list, which, as we've chatted about, isn't exactly the best thing to start with?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's people's needs are everywhere, but what I have boiled down any service providing business to, like the things you really need to concentrate on, it all comes down to the client journey and your website, your social media, your email marketing, you know, just regular emails when you're like onboarding a client, just one-on-one. It all comes down to that. And so, you just want to keep thinking, what's the easiest way to work with me? The easiest way to work with me. And is it a Zoom call? Because we're so quick to be like, yeah, meet me on Zoom and see if we're a good fit and see if we're a good fit. And then all of a sudden, you have zero time to work because you're on 20 Zoom calls in a week. And so whenever my client tells me, well, the first step to working with me is getting on a Zoom call, it's like, no, it's not. It's not. You know, like, don't do that to yourself. Don't get on every Zoom call just for somebody to talk to you for half an hour and then maybe not even hire you. So it's just a new way of thinking around, are you going to be so quick to hire somebody when you get on a Zoom call? Or are you going to scope out their social media? Are you going to try to learn everything you can about them? And so you want to think of your business as a whole and you want to think, what's the shortest path to working with me? And then you'll start to see, oh, yeah, they should probably hear from me a couple of times before the Zoom call. There's an idea. Or like maybe I shouldn't hide my booking that Zoom call that I think I need. Maybe I shouldn't hide that like deep within my website. Maybe it should just be really apparent so that if it really is the first step of working with me, every single button is going to lead to that first step. So it's really just, again, the strategy of like, you want to make this easy to work with you. What's the first best step to doing that? And then I think everything kind of falls in place.
I'm glad you shared that again because I remember you shared that during our webinar and I was like, oh, yes, that's great advice. And just making it easy. I mean, that process that you shared for service providers, making it easy for people to work with them, is the equivalent of product-based companies making it easy for people to add to cart. If there's all these glitches and your website is slow, they're going to exit out of your website and go to your competitors and buy whatever product
I
they're
mean,
looking for.
we're so instant gratification that now it's gotten to the point where if your shopping cart system doesn't sync with my stored credit card in my phone, I'm not getting up to go get the credit card. And I don't care about the 20th t-shirt that I wanted because it was really cute. Yeah, it's like, oh my God, you want me to get up and get my wallet? Are you out of your mind?
What kind of energy do you think I have to do
Oh, come on. I'm
that?
just like, I'm doom scrolling here. Like this was not the intent of this purchase. And it's the same thing, you know, like I don't want to have to go through 20 leaps just to figure out if I want to hire you. So make it easy.
Yes. And I know you kind of mentioned this earlier too, but also thinking about like what people have on their to-do list and how that relates to their goals. So if they want to do something just to do something, and you have to really sit and think about like, well, why do you want to do this? What will accomplishing this task bring to you or give to you?
I always compare that. I have a house cleaner who I adore. And a lot of people will hear that and be like, oh, she's got a house
I
cleaner.
have one too, and it's the
Okay.
best thing ever.
It's literally the greatest gift you can give to yourself. And I was a professional organizer. I was going in people's homes and I wasn't cleaning, but I was organizing. Actually, I did clean when I was in grad school to make money. But anyway, the point is that I was like, well, if starting my own business was all about doing something that I love, but also having time for my family, and my kid comes home at 2:30, and now I'm switching gears from entrepreneur to mom, I also have to make dinner, and I also have to help her with her homework, and she has a lot of after school activities, and like there's only so many hours in a day. And so cleaning is really like, as much as I love a clean house and I can't condone it not being clean, I'm also not going to use my time to do that. And I will budget around affording that house cleaner because the payoff is time. And time is precious, and time for me is everything. So that's the decision-making factor in a house cleaner. And once I realized, like, she was amazing, she did an amazing job, I was like, what else do I hate? Laundry. I hate laundry. And I do a load of laundry every single day. I wash it, I dry it, and then I sort it into baskets. And then the miraculous woman that cleans my house, she comes back every 2 weeks and she just puts it away.
Oh,
It's
amazing.
so easy, but it just doesn't get done. And she doesn't even talk to me. Like, she's just the sweetest, wonderful woman. She has the code to the garage. She parks her car. She comes in. I'm on a Zoom call. She goes. She puts all the clothes away. She's here for 45 minutes. She gets back in her car. I see her drive away. She texts me, "See you next time." And I'm like,
You're
"Oh,
like amazing.
I love you. You're like my fairy godmother." That's just sometimes exactly what we need. And it can be like that with your business, I swear to you.
Yes. Oh, I love that. If you were to give one last piece of advice for our listeners about what they can do or should do in regards to really streamlining their operations and all of their tech stuff, like what would that be, would you say?
I have an organizer. So, because I was a teacher, I love a good worksheet. Worksheets are life. On my website, simplifysimplify.me, there's a freebie. You give me your email address. I promise I'm delightful in your inbox and you can always unsubscribe. But there's an organizer in there and it says it's basically a guide on what to delegate. And it's just a little
Fun.
brainstorm activity. And it's like, It, you know, and maybe you'll even just write down your laundry and cleaning your house after you heard me. And that's great. Like, please go do that. Let me know if you want Damiana's number. She's amazing. But you know, it's just gonna, it's a brain dump. It's just a couple of questions, and it's gonna get you to just really think about like, what am I doing that I don't have to do?
Yeah, brain dumps are huge. I mean, you
Love
get
them.
so much out of them, and you're like, I didn't
Ugh.
even realize that this was weighing on my mind, and now I figured
So when
it
you're up at 2 a.m., just brain dump and then go back to bed.
out. Exactly. One of my favorite questions to ask our guests when they come on this show is what their favorite local businesses are to support, because of course, this podcast is all about supporting the businesses of our guests when they come on the show. So, could you share with our listeners what your favorite places are to frequent?
Absolutely. So I'm in Worcester. I'm in Tatnik Square. And we have just such a great bakery here. It's called On the Rise, and they are amazing. My husband works from home on Fridays, and his favorite thing to do is walk over and get me a chocolate croissant, and they are heaven.
Yum.
Must try. They're always really toasty warm and gooey, and they're amazing. And then another one. So my daughter's six, and I thought it was too early to start piano lessons. I just thought it was a really young age, and I was pleasantly surprised by the teaching of songs keys. And I'm pretty sure it's songskeys.com. I'm going to actually check it while I talk here. But it's really phenomenal. She actually, yes, songskeys.com. She's right in Tatnik Square. And her music development for early childhood is truly incredible. She taught my little girl the difference between ideate and audiate.
Oh.
And I was like, she's six. That's a big concept. And she got it. And I was like, wow,
Yeah.
this is really cool. And I mean, in a 45-minute lesson, I think she touches the piano for all of 5 to 10 minutes, but it's really just a whole person experience of learning music. And it's just so cool. So take your little one and try it out.
Oh, I love those suggestions.
Yeah.
Liz, this has been such a great episode, and I've loved having you come back here to MBN to share your expertise. And now I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Absolutely. Simplify.me. And you'll notice that every button leads to connecting with me. So pushing me to one of the buttons.
You're following your own advice.
For once. Yes, exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Liz, again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.